Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
What I have done is I have figured out what a mom would say in a 24-hour period, and I have condensed it to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. So strap on your seatbelt. Here we go. Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Remember, Lord Adonis will be seeing you at 3-2. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play, don't shovel. Choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend. Don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn. Never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with angels. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And happy Mom's Day. We've got, actually what I would say is, happy Mom's Day, all you mothers out there.
The moms.
The moms.
The moms.
And that was a, I've heard that bit we did at the top of the show before, but when you mentioned it, I said, okay.
It's perfect for Mother's
Day. We got to do this. We'll roll it again. Good morning on the 9th of May. A chilly morning. You know, we told you. I warned you. I told you folks weeks ago when it was in the 80s that, you know, and everybody's buying their tomato plants and their tender annuals and saying, oh, can I put them out now? Well, no.
No. I went to Pesci's yesterday and I bought flats and I saw Wally and he was like, don't plant these yet. Don't plant these. Wait till it's 60 degrees, then plant them. He was adamant about it. So you're not alone in sharing, spreading the word and the warning.
Yeah.
But
well,
you
it's kind of obvious.
Week, yeah.
I was last week. It was hard to understand at that time. And then it just gets chillier and chillier. And we took in our tomatoes. We've had them in a little cold frame out in the backyard and brought in the tomatoes and the artichokes, which we haven't planted. They're still in their little container. We still haven't gotten those in. But so you got hooked.
I got hooked. I got hooked after doing the show last week.
And she said, Heather says, look what you've done to me.
Yeah.
I'm buying plants now.
I have four of them now in my house.
And mom has plants.
And grandma has plants.
By the way, should we get it over with right now? Do you want to say Happy Mom's Day to everybody in your family?
Oh, or are you Happy saving Mother's that for the Day. End of- I'm going to, we're all going to see each other tonight. My mom worked last night. My grandmother's sleeping. They won't be awake till the second hour anyway.
Okay. We'll save it till then. I'll let some folks know that there's been a little change. And I'll tell you what, during the course of the show, the Mighty House guys on at 10 o'clock, 10 to noon on Chicago's Progressive Talk, are always much better about this thing than me. Every time they go to a break, they give the website, they give the email address, they give the podcast. We're going to be on podcast. And my apologies to the people who like to listen to the podcast. I didn't get it up until Friday.
Friday?
I know.
I sent it to you on Monday.
This is how busy I've been. This is a busy week. Don't even start with me, Missy. Missy.
I'm not starting anything.
Okay. But it's up. And I'll get this one up soon, too. We're not, I want to thank all the people at Pesci's. It was a great time last week. We had a lot of fun. And we'll be back there on the 23rd. Let's go. But going back to contact information, I have a new email address at Chicago's Progressive Talk. And it used to be Mike at WCPT. Forget that. Put that out of your head. It's now Mike at newswebradio.net if you want to write to me. And I notice that nobody knows what it is yet because I have no mail in that account. And by the way, if you wrote to me in the past at that address at the old Mike at WCPT 820,
it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
That mail doesn't
exist. It's vanished.
I tried to get it saved and nah.
Vanished into cyberspace.
It's gone forever. And I had saved a few things that I wanted in there, but that's showbiz. I'm probably better off without them because then there's a little compartment in the back of your head says, I got to get to this. But all right. Anyway, way too much on the show today. Way too much. A lot's going on. You're not going to believe it. Go to MikeNovak.net this week. Scroll down. I've got all kinds of stuff. We're talking about, speaking of moms and telling you what not to do in the morning, Julia Govis is in the studio, another mom who had to tell her kids, please don't drink the atrazine. Am I right, Julia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Please don't drink the atrazine. And she actually wrote a book called Who's Poisoning Our Children? Josh Mogerman is on the phone. He'll be with us in a second from the Natural Resources Defense Council. They just did a report on atrazine in our water. You'll hear all about that. We're going to be talking about recycling plastics in the second hour with Beth Botts. And Drew Efron from Ball Horticultural Company, they're figuring out new biopots, which may be an answer to all that plastic in the system. We got a couple of events this week. Beth is going to tell us about one at Garfield Park Conservatory. I'm going to tell you about one at the Lincoln Park Conservancy. It'll be at the conservatory for the Lincoln Park Conservancy. My Backyard Garden Seed Competition, I'll tell you about that. Uncommon Ground, I'm going to be there on Thursday speaking for the Chicago Recycling Coalition. We're broadcasting live from Austin next week. I thought this week was busy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I'm not going to make it. All right. Let's...
You won't sit and take a breath until the first frost comes
please.
In.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
It's your season.
It is. And I'm not getting paid enough for it. But that's another matter.
Oh, but you love it. It's the satisfaction of it all.
Oh, yeah. I do. Let's bring in Josh Mogerman from the NRDC on line one. How you doing, Josh?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you. And you're a dad. You're a new dad.
I am. 3 months next week. It's very weird.
It seems to be contagious. We have had a lot of people on the show with new babies lately.
Well, congratulations, Josh. Your day's next month.
What was that, Josh?
Maybe there's a pesticide in the water doing it.
Oh, no.
Hope not.
Let's not. Let's not hope that. And that's why you're here. I hardly know where to start with this, but I'm going to start with Julia because I met Julia Govis a few weeks ago at University of Chicago. We were doing a showing of the documentary, which just goes right out of my head, A Chemical Reaction. There we go. And that's Paul Tukey's movie about, it's not so much about atrazine, but it's about other chemicals like 2,4-D and others that are used in our lawn pesticides. The common ones that we use here in the northern part of the United States and Canada. This took place in Canada, and it's the story of this doctor in Canada who got a little town of Hudson to ban what they call cosmetic pesticides. I love that term, cosmetic pesticides. And they won. Went all the way to the Canadian Supreme Court, and this Canadian Supreme Court voted 9-0 to support the ban of pesticides, lawn pesticides, in the town of Hudson, Quebec. And now Quebec and some people say Quebec. I have no idea anymore.
I think it's Qua.
I think Qua. People say Caribbean, and I always grew up hearing it was Caribbean, so I don't know. At any rate, it spread to from Quebec to Ontario to British Columbia, and now pretty much the whole country doesn't use these chemicals. So at this, I was speaking afterward, and one of the people on stage with me was Julia, who told the most remarkable story about her own family. And in a couple of minutes, Julia, and I know it goes on for a while, just lay out this story for us, and then we'll bring Josh into the conversation.
Sure, Mike. I moved out to the country from the Chicago suburbs back in the late 70s, wanting to raise a family out in the country, to grow our own food, to get all the advantages that we think of when we think of living in rural America. So from 1981 to 1992, I managed to have four children at two different farms in Illinois, all, of course, in the Corn Belt area, since it was Illinois. We drank and used well water, which isn't monitored at all by the county. And over the years, my four children ended up having different issues, different health issues. Nothing happened all at once, nothing, you know, that you could point to. I looked for genetic causes, but everything I looked at in the end came back to the endocrine system, which is how I accidentally found out that there was this this thing scientists were looking at called endocrine disruptors. And then I located all the pesticides that were being used around our farm. And that's how I got onto the topic of atrazine. And I'll let Josh fill you in on that.
Well for one thing, though, before we go away, I want to ask you, what kinds of problems were your children having?
So different children had different issues. My youngest was having some growth delays. And, of course, you couldn't really – that could be – it could be a later growth situation. We had his bones x-rayed, and he was statistically 2 years behind of his chronological age. Again, you can't really say, you know, say this caused this. You can't do that. My daughter has a problem called polycystic ovarian syndrome, which means that her follicles, which are meant to turn into eggs, turn into cysts. And so in looking at that and...
Is that still the case?
Yes. Yeah, that's...
That's a permanent condition?
It is. Now, they're looking at things like Metiform and different types of medication that control it. But we don't know when until and if she chooses to try and have children. We won't know if it's possible or to what extent of intervention it would take.
So after you saw these problems, you did some investigating and found that their endocrine systems were perhaps involved in this, and you discovered that all signs were pointing to a chemical called atrazine.
It was actually my daughter who pointed out to me, because I was just, you know, kind of looking at genetic issues after, you know, I heard that my third child by medical doctors, whatever their situation was called an enigma. You know, it was very frustrating. I tried to look at genetic endocrine issues, couldn't find anything. We don't have polycystic ovarian syndrome in our family. My daughter doesn't have it on either side of her genetic pool. And so I started just looking around and looking at our property, which is a house that's built on the side of a hill at the time. It was, you know, we had two ponds in the front yard and a creek. I mean, beautifully picturesque. But looking back in hindsight, it really was being surrounded by conventional farms. It really served as a cesspool for pesticide runoff. And why I was so interested in atrazine was that I discovered that it was basically already a known endocrine disruptor, that rats exposed to atrazine at certain critical periods develop PCOS. show that kind of led me on the trail of what I needed to do next, and that is to talk to farmers who told me that in those early years, in the early 80s, when my children were small and I was pregnant, they were actually using more atrazine than they had ever before or now, basically because we were trying to go in this country to a no-till farming method, and rather than just rub the topsoil so much, use more atrazine.
All right, let's go to Josh. I thought no-till was a good practice, Josh. Why would it lead to more atrazine? And give us a little background on atrazine as well.
Well, atrazine is it's a very common agricultural chemical. It's used a lot in corn and sorghum and sugarcane. And you're right, there are some very important things with no-till farming. But one of the problems is when you use chemicals that persist in the environment for a long time. And that's one of the things that is problematic about atrazine. It goes down when you have a rainstorm or something like that. It goes into the water table and moves around. And unfortunately, this particular chemical, we know, has impacts at very low concentrations. We're talking as low as one-tenth of a part per billion.
I was looking at your materials, and at one-tenth of a part per billion, frogs have... It's weird. Yeah, when you say this out loud,
yeah,
that male frogs turn into female frogs.
Right.
That sounds like science fiction.
Yeah, and you know, just to give people a sense of scale, 3 parts per billion is about a teaspoon in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So we know that this particular chemical is an endocrine disruptor. We know that it has wildlife impacts through studies done both in the wild in the laboratory setting, but also in the wild from comparison. The problem is that, as Julia said, the epi studies for humans, you know, we're never going to be able to point out this case was related to this specific chemical. But what we do know is that there are studies that show really clear correlations with human health. There's a study that showed in Indiana that babies born at certain times in the year that coincided with the times when atrazine is in use, and you know, right now in the spring it's atrazine season.
Right, and that is a consideration. One of the studies, I don't know if it was yours or one of the articles I read about this, said that if you conceive around this time, this might be the worst time if you live around farms that have atrazine.
Right, it often leads towards low birth weight and other problems. This is where our real concern comes in, as it relates to drinking water, because there are hundreds of communities around the country, that are likely getting massive doses of atrazine in their finished drinking water, and not being made aware of it, because of the way we measure drinking water. We look at average throughout the year, presence of this. And unfortunately, because it's used seasonally, people are getting big spikes that are, you know, well beyond the level where we start to see impact in a laboratory setting. And that's where our real concerns come from.
Yeah, so if you measure the water quarterly, you might miss those spikes, the atrazine spikes in the water.
You're likely to miss them, in fact. And even if you do get them, you have 2 other quarters where it's not being used at all. And so
do they average that out then?
Yeah, they average it out.
So
you know, not meaning a pun here, but it gets watered down, the numbers.
All right.
And so you have communities that have these massive spikes that are the standard is average 3 parts per billion per year for your water system to be legal. But there are places in this state, actually, that get spikes as high as 35 and 40 parts per billion in their finished water that comes out of their tap.
We got a break here in a second. Syngenta, which makes atrazine for the most part, one of their people said they thought that up to 200 plus parts per billion is perfectly safe. I read that someplace, and that just seems insane.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of science that says otherwise.
Okay. That's Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council. Julie Govis is in studio. She wrote a book about this called Who's Poisoning Our Children? Actually, I have a link to it on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and we will continue the conversation. I want to talk about the study that's just been done by the NRDC. Now, if you caught my big broadcast at Pesci's last week, then you already know about Dr. Earth. This is the company that has introduced probiotics to the world of gardening. Probiotics is a soil inoculant that consists of several species of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that, simply put, bring life to your soil. Of course, as a gardener, you're interested in results, and that's what you get from Dr. Earth's organic soils, blended organic fertilizers, lawn food, organic insecticides and fungicides, and more. Find out what probiotics can do for your garden. Visit your local independent garden center or go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good. And you'll feel good, because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
Heather tells me all the moms she knows are writing to her on Facebook
now.
Okay.
The ones with the young kids that are up early.
You probably didn't see it last night. You were probably asleep, but Betty White had a great comment about Facebook.
I missed it entirely.
I'm going to use it next week.
Okay.
Ahoy, mateys. Throw pests overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, and do it organically, This brew from Bonide contains spinosad, which is derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium. The bacterium was collected from an abandoned rum distillery on a Caribbean, and it is Caribbean, island in 1982, defined as a new species and hasn't been found in nature anywhere else in the world since. Spinosad is now a pesticide used worldwide in the production of organic produce. Spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berry shrubs, and fruit trees, but always, always, I tell you, please practice RAFLD, which is read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Country Bumpkin in Mundelein, Sonoris Brothers in Frankfurt, Pesci's in Des Plaines, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonide garden naturals. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking, you know, speaking of chemicals, and there's all kinds of chemicals in the world. There are good, there are bad, there are benign. Atrazine, as we believe it, is not so benign. Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council is on the phone. In the studio is Julia Govis, who had firsthand experience with atrazine. Let's start with you, Josh, and the study that NRDC did last year and then followed up this year. What's that all about?
Well, we got access to EPA drinking water data and also U.S. Geological Service watershed data, and just went out there and got a hold of the information and tried to document the contamination of our waterways from this stuff. And the picture that emerges is pretty frightening. We don't look everywhere. We realize there is a problem when we look in terms of watersheds for representative places. And what we find is that 75% of stream water and about 40% of all groundwater samples from agricultural areas tested are contaminated. With
and really, we're in the hot zone here. You list Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska. Also, I noticed down in Louisiana, if Louisiana needs more problems.
and Ohio is problematic, too.
Okay, and Ohio. And so you guys did the study. And would you say that the EPA acted after your study came out because of it, or were they already moving in the direction of reexamining atrazine before your study came out last year?
You know, I would love to think that they were already looking at it, and the Obama administration did talk about a need to address chemicals differently. But we put out our study. It was on the front page of the New York Times and in the Washington Post and a number of other places. And soon after, the EPA decided that they were going to start reevaluating the registration for this chemical, which, by the way, is banned in the European Union.
Yeah, that's that tells you something, doesn't it? That why is it? And here's the irony that Syngenta, that makes it, is based in Switzerland.
Yeah, they can't sell it at home.
They can't sell it in their own country, but they can sell it here.
Yeah,
and we can, and the other thing you point out. And other stories, and there's a story to the Chicago Tribune that they came out just a couple of weeks ago with a story about this and how it's persistent in our water. And I forgot my train of thought. you know, sometimes it just goes.
Well, there's a really interesting point to that in terms of the European Union. You know, that here chemicals are innocent until they're proven guilty, whereas in the European Union, if there's a potential problem, the science has to prove that that these chemicals are benign, and atrazine has not proven to be safe.
Yeah, and that's a precautionary principle, and actually Julia wants to address that whole idea of the precautionary principle, the idea, and that's the great point, is that here we put products out in the market, and then the EPA has to prove they're harmful, or groups like NRDC has to come up and say, hey, this is harmful, this is not doing good. In Europe, they put the onus on the manufacturer and make the manufacturer prove that they're safe before they put those out there. We live in bizarro world in the United States.
Well, here's the problem with that, and that is that, you know, atrazine is one of the most studied chemicals or pesticides that's out there. The problem is that most of those studies over the decades have been paid for by Syngenta. There is an emerging class of science from independent scientists and from scientists that are unaffiliated with Syngenta or the chemical lobby that point to a lot of these very frightening issues and point very, very definitively to problems with this drug, with this pesticide. The problem is who evaluates the data and what are their motivations? And
well,
that's a big problem in this country.
It is, and I actually write about that logic on my website here. You know, you follow the logic. Syngenta manufactures atrazine. Syngenta is in danger of losing its U.S. market. Syngenta has researchers determine whether the chemical is safe. These researchers are paid by Syngenta. They proclaim atrazine to be safe at current levels. Gee, it must be safe. You've got to wonder about that. Julia, you wanted to chime in on this.
I did. I wanted to go back to what Josh said. In the situation with my children, there's absolutely no way that I can conclusively prove or even state that any of the issues that they had can directly go back to atrazine because, again, like you're talking about, in this country, we use what's called the weight of evidence. And unfortunately, it's up to us as citizens to go find out what we've been exposed to and what the studies say. So when I called the EPA originally, finding out that rats exposed to atrazine could come up with a condition called PCOS, I said, well, I have a problem with that because my daughter has that, and what do we do? And I was told that they don't expect the mechanism to work the same in human beings, which really frustrated me because then I thought, so you care if rats have PCOS? I mean, why are we using them as the model? So, you know, we're all exposed to chemical cocktails on a regular basis. And so atrazine, to me, is the poster child for reevaluating our whole chemical regulation program. Environmental Working Group recently did a study of body burden in human beings and found out that the typical American has up to 493 chemical substances in their bloodstream. Newborn babies, they tested 10 babies from the states Michigan, Florida, California, Wisconsin, from 2007 to 2008, and found out from umbilical cord blood that these infants had were born with up to 232 chemicals in their system. So atrazine is a big, important issue. It is the poster child for us to look at. Why is this allowed to be on our market? Why aren't we saying, okay, instead of me having to prove or try to prove that this caused problems in my children, why can't we look at it in a precautionary manner and say, look, it causes problems in rats, frogs. Maybe it's time to err on safety.
Here's the problem with that, and this has to be the final word, unfortunately. We need to move on, and we could talk about this for hours. Canada just used the precautionary principle to rule against the cosmetic pesticides in lawns, which means the chemical companies in America, in the United States, are on the alert now. They are not going to let that happen here. They've seen it happen in Europe. They've seen it happen here. All you got to do is watch our Congress and the way they tiptoe around every single damn issue that comes across the table right now. Do you think anybody is going to? I mean, we can't even get financial reform properly done. We can't. Healthcare was a mishmash. Do you think they're going to step up to the plate and protect the American citizens? Not going to happen. This is my cynical opinion. Josh, I don't know if you agree or not, but it just seems like it's. We might be able to work our magic against one chemical, but there will be 10 more to follow it.
Well, I hope that the process does phase this chemical out. We'll have to wait and see, but that's why these sorts of things are so important. People need to know. Julia didn't know about this issue. There are inexpensive, simple ways to protect yourself. If you go to our website, nrdc.org/health/atrazine, you'll find a list of filters that can largely preclude the biggest problems that you find from atrazine. And people need to be aware of what's in the environment around them, particularly as this is used in a lot of turf products.
You know, that's a really good point. I'm glad you mentioned it because I do have the link. I have the link to Still Poisoning the Well from the NRDC. I have the link to the simple things you can do to protect yourself if you think you're surrounded by atrazine in the water where you live. Click on to MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, and it's right there. Josh Mogerman from the NRDC, always a pleasure to have you on. Congratulations on being a dad.
Thanks, Mike.
And Julia Govis, thank you so much for coming down early on a Sunday.
Thank you, Mike.
We're late for... I'm sorry, Rick DeMaio, we're really late. We'll get to weather in just a second. Now, do you know how much water you use on your lawn each year? Would you like to use, say, no water and never fertilize and mow only if you wanted to? Welcome to the world of EcoLawn, a revolutionary blend of fine fescue grasses that will tolerate shade and will grow in clay soils, sandy soils, and nutrient-depleted soils. And now EcoLawn is available at Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago. So EcoLawn has come to Chicago. You can go to two places now, LakeStreetLandscapeSupply.com, or go there in person, or go to EcoLawn.com, EcoLawn.com. We call it EcoLawn.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time for a trip to Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center for their Rose event, where you'll find the best selection of the season on every rose variety available. Learn all you need to know at Sid's free, ding ding, wait, free rose seminars on Saturday, May 15th at 10 a.m. in Palos Hills and 1 p.m. in Bolingbrook. Visit SidsOnline.com for details and to download the coupon for savings on rose bushes. You know, one of the things you got to like about rose bushes, you get a little of this cold weather. They don't care. They're tough. you know, it's a shrub. It gets a little nippy and gets down to the low 30s. They don't care. By the way, you can get savings on rose bushes, including shrub roses, flower carpet, knockout, easy elegance, and more from Jackson and Perkins, Monrovia, and others. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal every Saturday in May at SIDS. Just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 a.m., and you'll save $10 off your purchase with the coupon you'll get from SIDS Early Bird Greeter. Oh, and when you're done planting, bring your cell packs, grower pots, and other plastic containers to SIDS for recycling, or pick up donated pots for use in your home garden. And we'll be talking about that whole issue of plastic pots in the second hour of the show today. But right now, I'm way behind. Let's bring in Rick DeMaio. And Rick, It got cold.
Yeah, but no frost or freeze.
And that's what you predicted.
Right.
I saw people going, watch out, frost or freeze. Well, they weren't saying freeze up in Wisconsin. A few people said, we're going to get frost down here. And then you sent me an email yesterday and said, the winds are going to be too strong to have a frost.
Right. Yeah, what happened was we had the cloud cover, Mike, up until about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And that kind of kept the temperatures from falling. And then the winds, the winds even at O'Hare Field, at about 5 o'clock this morning, were blowing at about 8 to 9 miles per hour. It was actually about 3 in the morning when the National Weather Service actually dropped the previously issued frost advisory for all of Cook County, eastern sections of Lake County, just about all of the Chicago metropolitan area. They dropped it at that point, realizing that the winds weren't going to lighten up.
You were on top of that. By the way, I need to interject something here.
Yeah.
Rick DeMaio Weather, brought to you by Knockout Family of Roses. They bloom from spring until frost, are easy to grow and maintain, and are supremely resistant to disease. Visit theknockoutrose.com/radio. And getting back to the forecast and you looking at the wind regime and figuring there wasn't going to be frost, why do you think other forecasters were just being careful or what?
Yeah, I think they were being careful. I mean, there's nothing worse than missing something that is going to affect, you know, flowers and, you know, plants and trees, not so much trees and not so much bushes. But my general feeling is I think most frost and freeze advisories, I think, are overdone. They really do. I think that, you know, when you get a serious frost, you get a serious frost and you issue a frost advisory. But oftentimes you need to have, you know, generally clear skies and light winds before you head into the overnight hours. And, you know, you're looking at the weather pattern yesterday afternoon. It was windy and rainy even at, like, you know, 8 o'clock at night. I don't know if anybody saw it, Mike, but there were two of the most spectacular rainbows. I don't know if your viewers or listeners want to call in and talk about it. I know we don't have a lot of time, but there were just some unbelievably gorgeous rainbows yesterday afternoon. And it just wasn't the right setup. Things were probably, probably more conducive to frost and freeze, maybe about 150 to 200 miles west of us. But I'll quickly run down the overnight lows: 38 at O'Hare, 37 at Midway, 44 at the lakefront. That's that old urban heat island effect, keeping us from cooling down too much. Lewis University, Lockport, that's what a National Weather Service office is, 35. Rockford's 32, Aurora 32, but Aurora is the perennial cool spot anyway. Palwaukee Airport, 35. DeKalb, 33. Kankakee, 34. Morris, 32. So, again, and these were all temperatures that hit that mark for about an hour.
They didn't even get frost, so you're not going to get freeze with that. What did you say? It's like 28 for 4 hours or something?
28 for 4 hours for a killing freeze, but you can get frost with an air temperature of about 33.5, 34 degrees, as long as the surface is cool enough. You know, the air temperature may be a degree or two warm, but the surface, what happens is the surface, you know, either it's grass or metal, is actually at 32 or below, and the moisture in the atmosphere, it's what's called deposition. So the water vapor in the atmosphere adheres to that cooler surface, that sub-freezing surface, and goes straight from a gas to a solid, which is frost. Most people think frost is dew that freezes, but it's not. It actually has to be in contact with gas, which is the water vapor in the atmosphere, otherwise known as relative humidity. and that's where you get the frost. But again, yesterday the ground was still a little bit too warm and too wet for frost to develop. But by and large, Mike, I mean, we had, you know, the first 7 days of the month of May averaging about 3.5 degrees above normal. We're sitting at about 1.8 inches of rain, which is about 9/10 above normal. And just a little bit of a, you know, a skinny on the upcoming week. We're looking at a rain system moving in here on Tuesday.
I'll tell you what. Let's tease that. This is radio, and you know, and TV, they do that too. Oh, how long is this good weather going to last? How long is this cold weather going to last? Well, our meteorologist Rick DeMaio is right here, and he'll have that information right after this.
Do you want your landscape to stand out, but don't know where to start? A landscape that stands out starts with a knockout. The Knockout family of roses are the most disease-resistant roses available. All seven members of the Knockout family are easy to grow and require no special care. Tons of flowers bloom from spring until frost, making your landscape stand out all season long. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit theknockoutrose.com/radio.
Rick DeMaio, you're going to appreciate this. I just got a tweet from Pat Fitzgerald, who's listening to the show. He writes, Rick DeMaio, one of Chicago's best meteorologists on our airwaves right now. So,
Pat Fitzgerald, you mean the coach of the Northwestern Wildcats?
I don't think it's that Pat Fitzgerald. It's another Pat Fitzgerald. But, hey, you got to love it. They love you out there, Rick.
Oh, that's great. That's
all right.
Very kind of them.
Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Want to set up a recycled drip irrigation system? Here's how to do it. Save a clean plastic gallon milk jug, food-grade plastic, with cap. Hold on to the cap. Make one hole in the middle of the bottom of the jug with a thumbtack. You know, it doesn't need to be very big. Fill the gallon jug with dechlorinated water, and that's easy to do. You let it sit for 24 hours. First thing in the morning, place the jug next to your tomato stem and slightly loosen the cap, allowing the water to drip. Your jug should take about 4 to 6 hours to drain. Next time you water, place the jug 180 degrees from where you placed the jug the first time and a little farther from the stem. This technique will make the plant work for its water, encouraging a larger root system. The better the root system, the larger the tomatoes. Add 1 ounce of Neptune's Harvest fish and seaweed fertilizer to the water every 2 weeks to add nutrients to your water. That's the kind of great information you're going to get from Pesci's Garden Center, family-owned since 1924. Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at pesci's.com.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
If you think that organics are the new kid on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades, and they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. You know, that's the question I get a lot is, well, you know, how do I do the organic thing in a container? Some people say, I don't want to use synthetic fertilizers. Well, introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holytone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container growing mixes. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients and is fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma organic potting mixes at your local garden center this spring. You want to go to your local independent garden center. They're going to have all this great stuff. And here's one more. New Espoma Grow Tone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. In honor of Mother's Day, of course. I haven't played The Who yet. We'll get to... That's my favorite.
I know. We got some good mom songs. The mom brought the mom songs today.
The mom brought the mom songs. So in honor of Heather and all other mothers out there, I'll play the song she brought in. Let's get back to Mr. DeMille, one of the finest meteorologists.
Another one. Twitter says that they totally love Rick. Web girl Lisa loves Rick DeMille on the Mike Novak Show.
Web girl Lisa, great.
Web girl Lisa.
That's
Rick. Is this a delayed tweet from like last night? Is there
no? They're tweeting you right now. They're listening to you right now.
Even as we speak, people are. Okay, hey, you tweeters out there. Show Rick some love. We'll read them as they come in.
It's Mother's Day and Rick DeMille Day.
That's right. So,
how about the Stones' Mother's Little Helper? How about that?
It's on the CD.
Oh,
okay. It's on there.
All right, we'll get to that then.
Pick it up. I think it fell under the floor. Don't worry, it's so good, just brush it off.
See, yeah, I call that coffee. Lots and lots and lots of coffee.
Hey, you know, Mother's Day, you know when it started, guys?
What?
You know when Mother's Day was the first Mother's Day ever?
No.
Didn't it have something to do with like the Wells Fargo catalog or the Sears catalog or something along those lines?
You are slightly way off base.
Okay.
1914, Woodrow Wilson. This was basically for mothers who were obviously grieving their sons who were in the World War I.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And not only does Rick DeMille know his meteorology, he knows his history.
Yeah, 89 degrees, warmest Mother's Day ever, 29 degrees coldest ever.
89,
that's
did you say?
That's all my Mother's Day history. Yeah.
It's at 89 in Chicago.
Yeah, 89 in Chicago.
Wow. All right, and the forecast for this week?
You know what? Beautiful today. Obviously, we had some chilly weather this morning, Mike. High of right around 58 degrees. Normal high, though, is about 67. And you know what? It looks like it's going to be the same temperature everywhere due to the fact that the winds are out of the west. So no lake breeze today. The wind does turn southeast tomorrow, and we have these real fast-moving clouds. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts out sunny tomorrow and ends up raining. That's how quickly this next system is going to approach us, Mike. So sunny tomorrow morning, cloudy by the middle of the day, probably a couple of sprinkles by late tomorrow night. Highs probably around 53 lakefront, 58 inland, and then it looks like a very wet night. This is going to be one of those events like last week where we had overnight thunderstorms that kind of woke a lot of people up at about 3 in the morning. So tomorrow night into Tuesday, kind of a bumpy night as far as rain is concerned. A lot of showers and thunderstorms much of the day on Tuesday. But overall, Mike, for all the garden lovers and the farmers and the agricultural interests out there, this is going to be a really, really good week for precipitation. I'm looking for about 2.25 to about 2.5 inches of rain. About an inch and a half falling on Tuesday, about an inch on Thursday, which is going to be just perfect. And temperatures anywhere between about 55 and about 65 degrees, so a little bit cooler than average. But what this does is it allows all that rainwater to soak all the way down into the root system. So we're not looking at rainy, windy conditions followed by, hot and dry conditions where you get a lot of evaporation. So 55 today, 58 tomorrow, 62 on Tuesday with rain. It clears out Wednesday, high of only 56. And then Thursday, more rain with temperatures only in the low 60s. And it looks like we finally dry out for more than one day. It looks like next Saturday and Sunday, probably both days dry weather, sunshine, a few clouds around, but still not too warm, only in the mid-60s. Normal high, Mike, by next week is around 71. But as long as we dry out by Friday, I think if people are going to be working out in their yard, and trust me, you're going to have a ton of gardeners out next weekend, obviously because today is Mother's Day, people are basically taking the weekend off, particularly after yesterday, the fact that it was so cold. So if you're looking to go out and get some container flowers next Saturday morning, be prepared to wait in line, because it always happens, Mike. We've seen it before, is that weekend after Mother's Day is when everybody goes out and rushes to buy their things. This is what I would do. Go out late Friday afternoon, buy all your flowers then, so then you have Saturday morning to enjoy and plant them. Otherwise, it's, you know, we've done it before. It's Saturday night, 9 o'clock, and you're saying, I just have two more pots to plant, and then you're like, come on, finish up.
Wait, you've been spying on me, haven't you?
No, I know the deal. I know, I kind of know how that works.
I did a couple of garden talks in the last couple of weeks, and I was telling people about planting at night, and one of the problems is you come out in the morning, and you go, who made that design? and the other thing is,
right,
you lose all your tools, and then you're
right
out in the next day looking for them and trying
right
to figure out did they end up in the compost pile or someplace else? So
yeah, you don't want to do that. So bottom line, like, this week is going to be just great for rainfall and for sunshine, and then again, it looks like the timing works out just fine with next weekend looking to be rain free. So there's your weather in a nutshell, and happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Happy Mother's Day. Well,
and to Heather, of course.
Not to you. I know you're a father. We get to Father's Day, but happy. Yes, wish Heather the happy Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
She's really enjoying it. This is like, you know, she's got to put up with all the bad stuff all year, having
a
kid.
You get one day,
and that's the way it works. That is Rick DeMaio. He is, according to our listeners, one of the finest meteorologists in the city of Chicago.
Oh,
and
listeners.
I concur. And you can go to DeMaioWeather.com, or you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and click on DeMaio Weather, and it's always accurate. And he called it no frost, and that's why we love him on the show. Rick, I will talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. Bye, Heather. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Here's something to think about as you work in your spring yard. Lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other, and lawn roots often win. Surprised? Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. This is just one of the reasons why you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. I keep saying this. Folks, don't do it. It's a bad combination. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. Here's that number again, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, great people. Their business is people and their love for trees. You can have that greener grass on the other side of the hill, or maybe it's the other side of the street. The sunny side of the street? I'm not sure. With lawn products from Jonathan Green. A good lawn is simple. You need healthy soil. That's always the first thing. Folks, start with the soil. You need grass seed that's geared toward your environmental needs, fertilizer that feeds your soil, and problem solvers that control pests and diseases. It's all part of what Jonathan Green calls the new American lawn. Here's just a sampling from Jonathan Green's lawn growth arsenal. There's Green Up Lawn Fertilizer, which releases nitrogen for up to 12 weeks. Got to like that slow stuff, and has added iron and sulfur to help your lawns resist drought and disease. There's the dense shade mixture, which grows in shady areas where other mixtures may have failed. And also Jonathan Green's lawn fungus control, which is a fungicide that controls everything from summer patch to stripe smut. Got to like being able to say that. You can find Jonathan Green products at Alsip Home and Nursery in St. John, Indiana, Hare Nursery in Peoria, Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, or go to jonathangreen.com for a full list of products and information. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, in the second hour of the big program. We've got more stuff coming on. I'm going to remind you right now, we're talk about plastics and what you do with plastics in the yard, and how ball horticultural is trying to change that equation by making biopots. I want to remind you that next Saturday afternoon from 11 to 1, we're broadcasting live at the Third Unitarian Church in the Austin neighborhood of Chicago. So the Mike Novak Show has two, count them, two shows next week. One on Saturday, 11 to 1, and then back on Sunday, 8 to 10, as usual. So we'll talk more about that after CNN News. I hope you stick around. It's the Mike Novak Show.
What a drag it is getting old.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Frozen steak and goes running for the shelter of a mother's little helper. And to help her on her way, get her through her busy day.
That was Rick DeMille. Hey, this song going out to Rick DeMille in the north side of Chicago. The Stones, Mother's Little Helper. Thank you very much. Welcome back. The second hour of the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. And this hour, it's plastics. And look who's in the studio. Oh, my goodness. A blast from the past. Beth Botts. Hi.
You know, I'm not sure how to take that, Mike, but...
I meant it in a good way. It's, we miss you here.
Well, so here I am.
Well, here you are. You know, I may just turn this whole thing over for the next month or so and just say, I can't handle this anymore.
No, but, this is May. It's May. It's prime planting time. People need you, Mike.
Here's the problem.
What?
It's prime planting time, and I don't have time to plant.
I have the same problem.
You know, the communicators, and this is not unusual. I talk to people who write, do garden writing in Chicago area, and most of them are like me. They're writing about gardening and giving people advice, and they have no time to
and
do it themselves.
No time. I actually spent yesterday at the Oak Park Conservatory plant swap. And, you know, it's this you stand in line, and it's like the running of the bulls to run in there and get the good plants. And so now I have yet more plants, in addition to all the ones that I had to hustle indoors to get away from the cold snap, which God knows when they're going to be planted. It's it really is a dilemma.
Yeah, so what you end up doing if you're like me, you run out for 10 minutes, and if
right.
you get 10 minutes of gardening in, you're patting yourself on the back and going, "Yay, I
yep.
did something." So,
I'm not a 10-minute gardener. I'm a go out there and get covered with mud for hours gardening.
I would love that. I do not have
stop.
That luxury. Well,
I cannot stop.
Well, and fortunately, Kathleen's been helping out, and she is the one actually taking care of our veggies. This year, we're planting most of our veggies in containers.
Yeah.
It's all, you know.
All my veggies are in containers on the third floor porch.
Well, it's because you have a shade and you live on the third floor.
Yeah.
And who wants to go down there to tend veggies when you can tend them right outside the back door?
Exactly.
With us, I still haven't had the lead test done in the yard, and I'm not willing to take that chance right now.
Although
I have in the past. I've grown stuff, and I figure, oh, I'm so
well, that
full
accounts
of lead
for
now.
It,
yeah,
Mike, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, doesn't it? And
only where you set off the metal detectors.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's so much lead in me now. Yes, I set off the metal detectors in the airport. TSA wants to question me. In this half hour, we have Beth Botts in. Beth is going to be here for the rest of the show, but Drew Efron from Ball Horticulture. I knew I wasn't going to say that. Horticultural Company is here. Hi, Drew.
Good morning.
How do you say that?
Ball Horticultural Company.
Yeah, easy for you.
Rolls off the tongue.
It does, because you work there. They, you know, you read it on the paycheck. each week or every 2 weeks. Drew is the product manager for Ball Innovations, and what we're going to talk about in just a second is something that he described to me the other day as biopots and other things going on in Ball Horticultural. So hang on for just a second, but first, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America and all the ships at sea. Let's go to Press Flash. The new issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine has hit the stands, and it's the big, big, really big May-June issue. Beth Botts was alluding to it just a second ago. A full 98 pages, but it's the same price as the year's other issues. Go figure. If you don't pick it up, you'll be missing stories like Flash, how purple coneflower might not be so purple anymore, and Flash, how to construct a plant container that waters itself, and Flash, what are the easiest blooming plants indoors. And I'm not using the word blooming as a pejorative. And Flash, Mike Novak's column, all the way back on page 98. Yes, it's the last thing in the magazine, but some people read it first. Go figure. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine today. Better yet, Flash, get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com. That's ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program. I really like talking like that. It's just, you know, if you're a radio guy, that's, you know, you want to do a Walter Winchell every now and then.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobbex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Packed with power. I like that too. Packed with power. Back to nature. Cotton burr compost makes more nutrients available to your plants by feeding the organisms that feed your soil. Cotton burr compost is newer in this neck of the woods, but it's been used as a soil conditioner in the South for over 200 years. Why is Back to Nature cotton burr compost so special? Cotton burrs are rich in carbon and protein. They also contain significant amounts of plant macro and micronutrients. Famous for its ability to loosen clay soil, the organic mixture, which consists of composted cotton burrs, improves moisture retention in sandy soils, keeps harmful organisms in check, and unlike wood and wood-based products, it won't tie up nutrients. Oh, and it's affordable. Cotton burr compost comes in regular and acidified Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humate, which is great for lawns, rose bed amendment, and flower bed conditioner. They also have composted cattle manure and composted chicken manure. Back to Nature cotton burr compost products are available at May Garden Center in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, Countryside Garden Center in Crystal Lake, and Paradigm Gardens in Lake Geneva.
Sugar mama, please come back to me. Sugar mama,
that's not usually the kind of reference we're talking about when we...
Oh, moms are hot.
Yeah, but moms are... moms are hot, too. All right, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And
you know what? Although there's a lot of folk wisdom out there that Mother's Day is a good day to plant, probably not, folks. Probably not this Mother's Day.
And why is that, Beth Botts, from the Chicago Tribune and other writing, reading sources?
Because for the last couple of nights, we've had in places frost warnings. It's been really cold.
Well, were you
cold.
Listening on the way in? Maybe you weren't.
I was.
Oh, Mr. DeMaio, who... accurately predicted that we would not have frost in our area because the winds were too high. Now, up in Wisconsin, perhaps
in
they
Wisconsin,
had
it. But it was still.
And Michigan, maybe. And
pretty darn cool.
It was pretty cool.
Pretty darn cool. And I have a story in the Chicago Tribune today, which is all about.
Which I have.
Which
right
Mike
here
is waving in front of the microphone.
And he will
which,
recycle it when it, he's done.
And I will
we
recycle.
Will recycle it when we're done reading it. But it's all about tender vegetables and tender herbs and why you shouldn't plant them too early and when you can plant what.
And it's called Step Away from the Tomato. And that could have a Mom's Day reference, too, in there someplace.
That's true.
So, and it's in the Sunday section. That little magazine section that comes with the Chicago Tribune on page 18, the garden section. And I'm glad you see now. And when you wrote this, you wrote it how many weeks ago?
I probably wrote it about 2 weeks ago, and it was like 80 degrees.
And you were sweating bullets, right?
I was sweating bullets while I was writing this thing. And I knew from bitter experience that there were going to be a lot of people out there who were going to say, oh, it's summer, it's time. But it's you really, on tomatoes and peppers, you got to wait until nighttime temperatures are consistently in the upper 50s. Consistently. Nighttime temperatures, not daytime temperatures.
Right. And if you had tomatoes that you put in the ground, you're feeling the effects now, unless you had a wall of water.
If you don't have one of those, you can cut off the bottom of a milk jug and pop the milk jug over the tomatoes at night. But it's not just the air temperature that matters about these tender vegetables. It's the soil temperature
as
that
well
really matters.
And as Dr. Wally at Pesci's told me last week, we did a contest, gave away a rain barrel for people who could accurately give us the correct temperature to plant tomatoes. And Wally likes 60 degrees.
See, now, I talked to a bunch of people who like 55 for tomatoes. They like 60 for some other things.
Right.
But, you know, you certainly would be safe if you waited to 60.
If you erred on the side of 60. And people say, well, how do I do that? Well, there are such things as soil thermometers.
Go to the hardware store. Spend a couple bucks on a soil thermometer. You'll never be sorry.
I'm sorry. I wish I had a soil thermometer client advertising on the show, because there's the tagline. I would just play that over and over and over again.
I will find you a locally made soil thermometer.
Get a soil thermometer. You'll never be sorry. Thank you, Beth Botts. All right. Let's get to the...
Let's do something serious here.
No, okay? No. Well, okay. Yes, we will. And Drew has been waiting patiently. Drew Efron, product manager for Ball Innovations. Good morning. Thank you for coming down to the studio, Drew.
It's a pleasure. It's a beautiful morning.
It really is. This is my favorite kind of morning. A little crisp. And, you know, whether it's in the spring or in the fall, this is a great morning.
It would be a great gardening morning if we had time to garden. It would be great to go out there and divide perennials and move things around. And you know.
Although at this time of year, and I know we're getting sidetracked once again, my yard, or most yards, kind of take care of themselves
this time of year.
Everything looks great. In 2 months, it's chaos. It's all disaster. Right now, everything is perfect. Even the tiny little bit of lawn I have is perfect.
Right.
And it's always perfect at this time of year. You mow it the first time, and then it grows up, and you say, I can't imagine anything greener than that. Heather, you had your hand up.
Wait till August.
Yeah. All right. Drag that thing. Don't hit Beth with the microphone.
I didn't mean to hit Beth. I'm sorry. One of your Twitter followers, Zamboni, asks, the fault of the tomatoes are due to the garden centers because they start selling them in March. What is to be done?
Okay.
And my skinny gardener said last year she planted her tomatoes in July just because she was really late, and they ended up outperforming her friend's tomatoes, all of them.
Very good point.
That's a very good point. I hear that from a lot of people, that the tomatoes they plant in June do better than the tomatoes they plant in May. And the reason they start selling tomatoes in garden centers in March is because they know that we have no self-control. And worse, I wrote a blog post about this on my blog, growinginchicago.com. They know we have no self-control. They know we're terrible impulse shoppers. They know that Chicagoans are absolute suckers for anything that looks like a garden in March. And they know that when we plant those tomatoes in the cold soil and they rot out, we're going to have to come back and buy some more.
And I can't believe that I've been sitting here on this program, and Heather, you can attest to this, been warning gardeners not to plant tomatoes for a month and a half.
Right.
And
that's true.
And but you know what? I know you blogged about it. I cannot deny the garden centers an opportunity to make a buck.
Oh, hell no. Heck no. The garden centers, you know, especially this last couple seasons, they need the money.
They do. They got killed the last 2 years. So, and this has been the almost perfect spring for garden centers.
Oh, yeah.
And they are raking in the bucks. And do not deny them that, because they took a bath the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It was just horrible. All right, let's get to our subject at hand. I keep alluding to it. Oh, look, we don't have time anymore. Good night, everybody. Drew Efren, people buying plants, they're buying tomatoes, they get them in plastic pots. Beth and I have railed about that for quite some time now. What do we do? You guys are trying to change the equation at Ball Horticultural. How are you doing that?
Well, one of the pillars upon which we're building the business is environmental friendly. And to that end, what we think is a possible solution for people are biopots, pots made of renewable resources and that fit into the scheme of the cradle to cradle. That is, they start from renewable resources and they end in the earth in a natural state.
End of story. Now, easier said than done, though, because one of the reasons people use plastic, especially in the horticultural industry, is that it holds up. You know, you have to, the soils are moist. The container doesn't degrade by the time you ship it to the retailer. It is easy to clean so that you can prevent diseases from being transferred from one plant to another if you repot. How do you get those kinds of benefits from biopots?
That's the challenge, is to come up with a biopot that is made from a natural resource, will degrade, but won't degrade too soon, won't degrade earlier than it lives out its useful purpose as a plant container, a growing container for the production greenhouse, as well as the consumer who might be holding it in the case of there being cold nights for a number of weeks.
And how do you do that?
Testing. Lots and lots of trialing and tweaking of the materials.
That's the same way you get to Carnegie Hall.
Practice, right.
But, okay, among the materials that you've tried, now, one of them, question, are you making these materials here? Are you doing these things in the lab here? I know that with certain materials like rice hull pots, you're importing them from China.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the rice hull pots.
Rice hull pots are made from the byproduct of rice processing in China. They have a tremendous amount of the byproduct that would otherwise be buried or burned. I'm not sure exactly what would be the outcome of that, except that they have plenty of it to work with. They have the labor to make these pots, and they're shipped here on container ships. So the amount of transportation spread over an entire container ship worth of not necessarily only these pots, but all the containers and all the materials that they're shipping, makes the transportation portion of the carbon footprint relatively low. But the beauty of it is it's plantable. The net pot is plantable. The plants grow right through it, and then it deteriorates, degrades over the course of the season in your garden.
All right, let me address that. And Beth, do you have something you wanted to say about that?
Well, I just wanted to explain a little bit about the net pot that he's talking about. I've seen this at a couple of trade shows. And what it is the pot itself is relatively stiff and relatively thick and takes quite a while to break down in the compost. But this net pot has sort of slits in it so that the plant was planted in that pot, the roots can grow out the side of the pot. And so when you plant, you can plant this directly in the soil, and the roots will be able to grow out the side of the pot, and the pot can actually stay in the soil long enough to degrade. If you just have one of these rice hull pots, and they've become pretty common over the last couple, 3 years, you can see a lot of these, especially the very decorative pots that are made out of rice hulls, they can take a long time to degrade. But if you're using this net pot, you know, you plant it in the soil, and it can be there in the soil until it goes away, right?
And as a result of the testing we've done, we've altered the binder in the net pot as compared to the rice pot, the solid rice pot, and the netted or the slit sided and open bottom or open bottom net pot, so that it does degrade in the soil much faster. It's attacked by microbes and it pretty much breaks down, absorbs moisture, and then is attacked by the soil, naturally occurring soil microbes.
How long, like a season?
I think I know by the time you're ready to replant the following year, there will be virtually nothing left. Okay. Perhaps the rim of the pot, which if it was outside of the, not buried in the soil, but it would be crumbly at that point. It would be totally friable.
And, you know, that's a point about any biodegradable pot. I make my own pots out of newspaper for seed starting, but if you're using the peat pots or if you're using any of these biodegradable pots, you have to either break off the rim or bury the rim so that the soil organisms can get at the rim of the pot to degrade it, and also so that the pot itself doesn't wick moisture out of the soil.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what one of the things I was going to bring up. You're talking about this newfangled technology and these hard rice hull pots, and they are, it feels like plastic. Okay, and I've seen some of them, the ones that don't have the slits in the side, and you know that that's not going to break down and that the plant material is not going to get through there. And that's why I'm glad you have this other stuff going. But in the old days, years ago, I planted peat pots. They would give you, you could buy some plants in these peat containers.
You still can.
But even those wouldn't break down. You know, it's, if you did it wrong, it would wick all the water out of them. If you put the rim above the surface, often the roots could not even break through the peat. They would girdle inside, right. You know. So if plants can't even get their roots through peat, how are they going to get them through these hard rice hulls?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's why you're doing the slits, and that's why you're adding the biology to this.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the other thing about the peat pots is that there are issues about whether peat is sustainably harvested. So
it's not.
It's not. So
it's not.
What Ball is doing is you're using corn byproducts, you're using rice byproducts, you're using things that are byproducts of agriculture to make pots for horticulture, right?
Right. The materials, as you said, we have the rice hull pot. We have another product with the really sexy name, OP47 Bio.
Ooh, say that again, please.
OP47 Bio. And this is made principally of wheat with a binder. This is a domestically produced product. This is made from U.S. wheat in U.S. factories. Interestingly, our partner in our BioPots venture is Summit Plastic Company, which is one of the major producers of commercial horticulture plastic in Akron, Ohio. They're seeing the handwriting on the wall and interested in diversifying their offering by providing a place for us to manufacture the OP47 biomaterial. And
they're just using the regular plastic equipment that they use for plastic, right?
That's the other objective of our company, is to make products that are grower-friendly, that they're used to handling in their automated system. So we're not asking them to take a hit on the labor and in production.
All right, I've got lots more questions about this. That is Drew Efron from Ball Horticultural. We are talking about plastic pots and bio pots and the different technologies that are being used now to change the way we grow. A little bit, Beth, when we get back, we got to talk about where you can recycle now, because we still have that number 6 plastic out there, and number 5. 2, 5, and 6, those are the main plastics, right, in the horticultural industry? Or am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay. And this is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. If you want to grow great vegetables, you need a great fertilizer. And that's Dr. Earth's Organic Tomato, Vegetable, and Herb Fertilizer. Last summer, another doctor, Dr. Wally Apeshi, said to me, "Mike, you have to try this." And he meant it. Here's why. It's a blend of fish bone meal, feather meal, kelp meal, alfalfa meal, soft rock phosphate, humic acid, and more, not to mention Dr. Earth's probiotics. It adds life to your soil and health to your plants. If you apply it now, It's an insurance policy for your garden. It keeps feeding for 2 to 3 months. Give Dr. Earth a try. 35 million satisfied customers cannot be wrong. DrEarth.com. That's where you want to go to find a dealer near you.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
These days, more and more businesses are going green, and that's good news. But the growing popularity of green service providers also points to the values of those that have led the way. WRD Environmental is one of them. Since it was formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects, used recycled energy-efficient supplies, and sought nature's balance. Being green has simply been part of their DNA since their founding 13 years ago. Even their location speaks to their commitment. WRD is in the Chicago Center for Green Technology, one of the nation's greenest buildings. And I was thinking about them yesterday because they had their big plant sale up at Prairie Crossing. And I was thinking, boy, it's cool and windy, maybe a little rain. I hope everything went really well. But it's a great, it's one of the things that WRD does. They get involved in things like helping kids grow plants that they can sell for their schools. This is why you want to trust the professionals at WRD Environmental. On the web at WRDEnvironmental.com. It's time for a trip to Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center for their rose event. Speaking of roses, where you'll find the best selection of the season on every rose variety available. Learn all you need to know at Sid's free rose seminars on Saturday, May 15th at 10 a.m. in Palos Hills and 1 p.m. in Bolingbrook. Visit SidsOnline.com for details and to download the coupon for savings on rose bushes, including shrub roses, flower carpet, knockout, as we just heard. I bet they got some drift roses there, too. Where were we? Jackson and Perkins, Monrovia, and others. Sid Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal every Saturday in May at Sid's. Just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. and save $10 off your purchase with the coupon you'll get from Sid's Early Bird Greeter. You know, this is a program that I will probably never take advantage of. When you roll out of bed, when I do, I would probably miss it. But a lot of gardeners are early birds.
Well, you roll out of bed to make an 8 o'clock gardening show, Mike.
Well, that's true. That's just on Sunday, but Sid's is closed on Sunday, so I couldn't do it. Besides, I'd be coming down here anyway. When you're done with planting, bring your cell packs, grower pots, and other plastic containers to Sid's for recycling. Beth and I love that. Or pick up donated pots for use in your home garden. Welcome to PG Mother's Day. Is this PG-17? What do they call it?
NC-17.
No, we're not down there yet. It's just, but Joe Builder likes it. he's out in the hall, and he's giving us the big thumbs up. It's the Mike Novak Show on WCPT 820 AM, also 92.5, 92.7, 99.9 FM. If you got questions or comments about any of this, you're always welcome to call us at 773-838-9278. Beth Botts is in the studio with me and Drew Efron from Ball Horticultural. Where did we leave off? You were going to show me. You've got some pots here. Oh, you brought some stuff there, Drew.
I brought some samples to show you.
Cool. For you folks in Radio
Land.
You can
see them right over the radio,
yeah.
folks.
Yeah.
We'll describe them.
A theater of the mind.
Well, in addition to the OP-47 bio, which is made of wheat, and the net pots, which are made of rice, we have a real high-tech material that's called soil wrap that I'm going to give you a little sneak preview because we haven't actually commercially introduced it yet. It'll come out this summer, be introduced to the horticultural trades at OFA, the big trade show in July. But soil wrap is made from a product called Morel. That's the trade name of a material that's made from bacteria. This is actually the byproduct of a fermentation process. Big operation in Clinton, Iowa, using sugars as the fuel to grow the microbes. The microbes grow the polymer. The polymer is extracted and made into various plastic parts. The beauty of this is it's plantable as well as compostable and marine biodegradable. So
really?
Yeah.
Can I see that? You've
sure.
got this? All right. This looks like, wow, this does not look like it would be biodegradable. This looks like it's glossy for one thing, right. which you wouldn't expect. Why is it glossy? Is it just look better or?
There's just a little bit of a UV ink protection on there.
Okay.
One of the things I like about that is that it's printed in all these bright colors. And that's one of the real issues for retailers with biodegradable pots is there's been a big trend over the last few years to have people branding their plants by planting them in different colors of pots with different logos on them. And they can't do that with the biodegradable pots as easily. And this Morel product looks like you could really do that.
Well, it also eliminates the need in some cases, depending on the grower's option, for the tag, for a plastic
right.
tag. So you can print on this, you can put the variety and the care instructions right on the plantable pot.
Which you've done here with this soil wrap.
Right. In that case, we've shown how soil wrap works in the printing on the pot.
It's just amazing. Now, I actually talked to the Morel people a little while ago, but I hadn't seen this product, and it's just it's now this is not the actual container, or would be the actual container.
That's the actual container. It's bottomless, so that when it's put in a grower tray and filled with soil,
yeah.
and then the plant by again the commercial grower is planted in that soil wrap, it knits the soil together over the course of the 3 to 8 weeks of production, and when it goes to the store and you pull it out of there, the soil doesn't fall out of the bottom of the pot because the roots are all knitting the soil together.
But the tray itself is plastic, right? The tray that holds these things is plastic.
This particular tray I brought is a polyethylene tray, but you can also have this tray in PLA, which is the cornstarch.
Okay.
Industrial compostable product.
Are businesses moving towards the cornstarch trays as well? And how compostable are those?
Those are industrially compostable, which at this point is still relatively limited in where you can compost these materials. But as more and more companies, especially the consumer products companies, get involved in producing PLA, and there's a lot of drinking glasses and a lot of utensils in restaurants made of PLA and clamshell packaging PLA, there's going to be the opportunity, the demand, the supply will create demand for composting and industrial composting.
You know, that's one of the things that is a problem. Where we talk about these new technologies and everybody gets all excited, and then they realize you can't throw that fork, that cornstarch plastic fork into your compost pile and have it degrade unless you're heating it up properly. You have to do this professionally, or you're good enough in your backyard. And very few people I know get their compost piles heated that much. But you told me the other day, Drew, that if you have one of those tumblers, it will probably heat it up enough to compost it.
Yeah, if you can manage it, turn it, and add the right ingredients to bring the heat up, then you can take advantage of these in your home composting.
I got a tweet here from Zamboni, who says a friend of his got, or hers, I don't know if Zamboni's a man or a woman, a friend got pots made from dung, only, and I've heard of those.
Yeah, the cow pots.
The cow pots, right.
Is that one of the alternatives as well? What technology is going to win this race?
Well,
the cow pots, I think, are a very niche thing. They're very expensive.
Uh-huh.
And they're you buy them by mail order, and they're I mean one of the key things here is cost, right? One of the fundamental reasons why the growers use plastic is because it's really cheap.
They have had plastic in the marketplace for close to 50 years now, and they've developed the processes and the supply chains to get the resins that have made plastics very cheap. And the volumes that they're operating on.
I know, but these companies that do this also need to know that there's a lot of pressure for them to go in different directions. So when you're putting these products together, like the Morel or some of the other stuff you're using, what was the number?
OP-47.
Do you actively announce or when somebody goes to a retailer, are they going to know it's your product, or are they just sort of by accident going to end up getting this product? Are people going to be able to ask for it, or is this a situation where the industry is going to put these into play and consumers will barely notice when the transition happens?
The most savvy retailers are the ones who are going to take advantage of this, and they're going to either use the POP that we're putting together, point of purchase materials that explain what it is on the shelf, or they're putting their own together and using it as a point of differentiation for their retailer over the guy down the street or the other products on the shelf.
And that's what I want to see happen. Heather, do you have a...
Zamboni's a girl!
Hey, Zamboni!
I'm a hockey fan.
Is Zamboni a mom?
Zamboni, we need to know if you're a mom. We'll find out in a second here. You're right. The smart ones will do this. But you don't operate on the retail level. You operate on, you know, the wholesale level.
Right.
How does that help you? Well, I guess it does. If they're selling it, you can sell to them, and then the product is passed along.
Right. We're selling to the growers who grow for retail or who themselves are retailers or wholesalers too.
Mm-hmm. My Skinny Garden just wrote on Twitter, the cafeteria where I work has those forks made of corn. Every time I try to eat my hot lunch, it melts. Fail. Well, does that happen?
You know,
yeah, thermal.
These technologies are in transition. You know, we're in the experimental phase here. Now, hopefully 30 years from now, you know, this will be so normal that they will have all the bugs worked out. But at this point, right, Drew, there's still...
It was an issue when we were working on the PLA, the cornstarch tray, and we have additives in there that allow... Because knowing that the greenhouse can be a pretty warm place and the storage in a plastic wrap outside in Texas, for example, can get pretty hot.
Yeah.
We have additives that increase the thermal stability for just that reason.
And in case somebody wants to wash them in their dishwasher.
Oh, right.
That would not be a good thing,
sure.
Would
wash
it?
Your biodegradable pots in your dishwasher, folks, and see. Talk about experiments. I want to see this.
Okay. Drew Efron, thank you so much for coming by and showing us these fabulous products. And Ball Horticultural is continuing. Yes, Beth?
I want to talk a little bit about some of the other stuff in the plastics world. There was, first of all, everybody who has pots in their basement, piling up in their basement, should know that the Chicago
Too
soon?
That's the tease.
Oh, okay.
We're going to tell people next. You know, now we've done...
I'm sorry, folks. I'm not the slick radio guy that
you
Mike
can't read
is.
My mind. You don't know where I'm going next with my show. What's?
I wouldn't want to read your mind.
No, you don't want to know what's going on in the dark corners of my gray matter. We'll when we come back, if you've got plastic, we're going to tell you what you can do with it now. Right? Was that the idea?
Some of the things you can do with it now.
I'll tell you what you can do with your plastic, but that's a different story. Okay. What if I told you that you could grow a lawn that doesn't need to be fertilized and once established rarely needs water or mowing? You'd probably say, what planet are you on, Mike? And I'd say, Earth. And the grass I'm talking about is called EcoLawn. It's a blend of 7 fine fescues. And you'd say, but I can't get it in Chicago. And I'd say, au contraire, mon ami. You can get it at Lake Street Landscape Supply at 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago or at EcoLawn.com. And you'd say, wow, you're awesome. And I'd say, yep. Visit LakeStreetLandscapeSupply.com or EcoLawn.com. That's ECO-LAWN. Now.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all-natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobbex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Choosing a tree for your property is part art and part science. City trees have to tolerate some tough conditions, including wintertime road salt spray and runoff. Roots have a hard time penetrating Chicago-area soils, which is typically clayey with rocks and rubble mixed in. Some of it dates back to the Great Chicago Fire. Chicago soil also tends to be alkaline, and in the area around here, which means it has high pH, making it hard for some trees to extract the essential nutrients they need, like pin oak and red maple trees. Meanwhile, asphalt trees and parking lots soak up heat, creating urban heat islands that put additional stress on trees in summer. And of course, Chicago trees must be able to withstand extreme cold, too. The Care of Trees can help you make the right decisions about choosing a tree. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. They know the art. They know the science. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Now, I did this last week. Our friend Leah, by the way, who's been helping me a little bit with some of my show stuff. How you pronounce her last name, Pia?
Petrusiak.
Petrusiak. I should know. It's a Paisan, but I don't even know how to pronounce. But she has the lead story in the Reader this week. You got it. You on front page story. Beth would appreciate that. And she's really neat. And she was helping me, you know, figure out the incantation double toil and whatever. No more pest troubles, actually. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide is an organic way to protect plants from critters like caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, borers, and more without having to cast any spells. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew contains a naturally occurring soil bacterium that was collected from an abandoned Caribbean rum distillery in 1982. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, trees, shrubs, and fruit trees. Basically, folks use it for their organic gardens. It comes in quart ready to use, quart ready to spray with a hose end sprayer attachment for easy application and a concentrate if you prefer to mix your own. Always read and follow label directions and know why you're applying Captain Jack's before you use it to protect your plant treasures. Look closely and identify the culprits. Don't guess. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, Heinz Brothers Greenhouse in St. Charles, The Chalet in Wilmette, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of the Bonide Garden Naturals. And now I'm doing a little roulette here, okay? This is your mom's day roulette. We'll see what comes up.
Ask any of the little chickies in my pen. They'll tell you I'm the biggest mother hen. I love them all and they love me. Because the system works, the system called reciprocity.
Oh dear, show tunes. Oh dear. Okay. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's get back to Beth Botts with what to do with your plastic pots now.
Yeah. If you're a gardener, you probably have stacks and stacks and stacks of plastic pots. One of the things you can do is if you're participating in a plant swap or a plant sale, you can pot up your divisions or your seedlings or whatever. in plastic pots, or you can give them to a garden club. Garden clubs always want plastic pots to pot up plants for plant sales. So that's one obvious reuse thing. Just make sure they're clean. Another thing
But how clean do they have to be?
They have to be pretty clean. You don't want to transfer disease organisms from last year's plants to this year's plants. So the standard advice is to, you know, wash off all the visible dirt and then disinfect them in a 10% bleach solution. In other words, you know, one part of household bleach to nine parts of water. Another thing you can do is the Chicago Botanic Garden, in Glencoe, is having a pot recycling day on June 5th in Lot 4. So you can take your plastic pots up there when you're visiting the garden. And you can find more information on chicagobotanic.org. You can also retake your pots to all those tents that are in the parking lots of Jewel supermarkets where they sell plants this time of year. They will accept your plastic pots. They will take them back up to Michigan where they are recycled. You can recycle your pots at SIDS, both locations. I know they take plastic pots for recycling at Grand Street Gardens. And they may take them at other garden centers. I'm hesitant to talk about other garden centers that I haven't actually been to because I don't want people showing up with pots at garden centers that I don't know for sure take them. But you can ask, and that's one of the big things that has to happen is people have to ask their garden centers, do you take plastic pots?
Yeah.
What can I do with my plastic pots? When are you going to be participating in a plastic pot recycling program? Because that's what will get one going in Illinois like they have in Minnesota, like they have down in St. Louis with the Missouri Botanic Garden. There are places that have very active plastic pot recycling programs where other garden centers are involved. We don't have that.
And technically, if it has the symbol on it, the recycling symbol, and it's not a number six, and that's why I was asking Drew earlier, twos, fives are standard in the industry. Technically, if it's got that recycling symbol and it's a two or five, you can leave it in the Chicago bins. You know, you can put it in your blue cart.
Yeah, you can, although I would still rinse off the visible dirt.
Sure.
Because the dirt is an issue in the recycling. The other little piece of good news that I'll just throw out there, last year there was a big new recycling facility dedicated to horticultural plastics that opened in South Haven, Michigan. And the latest thing I've seen in the trade journals is that that plastics recycling facility is running 24 hours a day.
Okay.
They're getting so many pots coming in. So that, I think, is an indication that this is a wave, that it is increasing, and you should all participate in it by putting pressure on your garden centers.
Put pressure on yourselves first to do it, then put pressure on your garden centers. And, you know, that's why I love having SIDS on the show, because they'll recycle for you, and there's a lot of places that Beth just told you about you should take advantage of. When we come back, we're going to talk about two great events coming up this week in Chicago. Now, one of the most important things a gardener needs to know is the pH of the soil. Don't panic. It's just a measure of whether your soil is acidic or alkaline. In the immediate Chicago area, we tend to have alkaline soil. That's the reason why it's so difficult to grow blueberries. Everybody wants to grow blueberries. I say, sure, you can grow blueberries. Just move to Michigan. And it's why your rhododendrons look like sticks with leaves on the end of them. That's why the Espoma people developed Hollytone, the original acid-loving plant food. Hollytone's blend of natural organics provides a safe, long-lasting feeding, and now Hollytone contains biotone, beneficial microbes for even better growth and color. All natural Hollytone is low in salts, so it won't burn plant roots and it won't leach out into the soil with the next rain. One application of Hollytone lasts for months and even improves your soil. For more than 50 years, this is what the experts in Chicago have been telling you to use for your acid-loving plants. For more information about Hollytone and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit espoma.com. ESPOMA, Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Let's listen in on a brief conversation between Ralph the Gardening Master and famed seedsman Jonathan Green. Jonathan, if you could select one achievement in your life that you value most, what would it be?
Well, all of my life I've cared about improving the quality of lawn grasses. My new Black Beauty grass seed may be my most remarkable development yet.
Really? Tell me more.
Black Beauty produces turf with an unusually rich dark green color. It is also very drought tolerant because it has an invisible, waxy coating covering the leaves, like that of an apple. This coating holds the moisture inside. Black Beauty gives your lawn endurance for times when watering the lawn is a problem.
Jonathan, your Black Beauty grass seed sounds great.
Pick up Black Beauty grass seed and all other Jonathan Green products at your nearby independent garden center or hardware store.
Visit me at jonathangreen.com for the dealer near you and to view my how-to lawn videos.
You can find Jonathan Green products at Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais, or is that... Yeah, I think that's Bourbonnais. Bourbonnais. Pasquazi Home and Garden. Leah had a little typo, though. Hey, Leah, little typo. Pasquazi Home and Garden in Barrington and Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Bolingbrook. Now, if you're wondering why Pesci's was voted Best Florist and Best Garden Center and Nursery in the 2010 Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards, all you need to do is stop in. You're sure to find your old-time favorites and great new selections. There's a huge variety of 4-inch pots, and you can mix and match your annual flats. Pesci's has a large selection of pre-made, ready-to-go containers. Just ask Heather. And if you didn't have time to grow your plants from seed, Pesci's has more than 50 varieties of herbs, 4 types of onions, 10 varieties of lettuce, and much more. I got some myself. The plants are hardened to area weather, grown from the best seed available, and raised in a quality-controlled environment. Pesci's in Des Plaines, family-owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is just off of I-294 on South River Road, north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. All right, as I said, we got a couple of great events coming up this week in the city of Chicago. One is for the Garfield Park Conservatory. The other is for the Lincoln Park Conservancy. Beth, the Garfield Park is all about beer.
It's all about beer. Illinois Craft Brewers Association, seven member breweries are coming to the Garfield Park Conservatory this Thursday, May 13th. You will be able to sample many interesting local brews. There will be interesting locally grown, sustainably grown food. It's a zero waste event. It's just green as all get out. And you'll also be able to enjoy the Garfield Park Conservatory, which is a wonderful place to be in the evening. And it is also a center for urban gardening information. They have a great demonstration garden, and that's why this is a fundraiser for the Garfield Park Conservatory Alliance. And you can find more information, including a register, $35 in advance, at garfieldconservatory.org.
Well, or you can go to my website, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak, and you've got a little flyer there too. Well, I've got the link so you can get on board. I'm going to talk a second about mine. Be thinking in your head right now. We may have about a minute or 30 seconds left to talk about how to get rid of thistles. We had a call about that.
Okay.
And so go to MikeNowak.net this week, and you can find information about the Garfield Park Conservatory Alliance event this Thursday, May 13th, 5:30 p.m. I can't be there because I'm going to be at Uncommon Ground at 6 o'clock for the Chicago Recycling Coalition. But I want to tell you about the Glass House Gala, which is this Friday, May 14th at 6 at the Lincoln Park Conservatory. And what they're doing, well, we're doing, because I'm on the board, full disclosure here, we're transforming the conservatory. You come and you stroll through a couple of the rooms in there, but the big showroom is transformed into an elegant dining and entertainment space. There's cocktails, dinner, a live auction, and Jersey Boy Jeff Ingersoll and his wife Angela do a fabulous show, and they are entertaining the masses there at the Glass House Gala. It's Friday, May 14th, starts at 6. We've got amazing auction items. There's one horticultural auction that is just, it has tree care in it. It has getting a tree planted. It's got containers in it. And we're trying to get people to bid on these various things. And here's what you can do. If go to my website and find the information. If you're interested in going to the gala, because we're getting up against the time when you got to get the reservations in, just write to me, mike@mikenowak.net. Mike@MikeNowak.net. Go look at the information online first, and then give me a holler, and I'll get you a ticket into the Glasshouse Gala at the Lincoln Park Conservatory this Friday, May 14th. Okay, we got about a minute.
Okay, you got thistles. Get yourself a pair of really sturdy leather gloves and get yourself a dandelion weeder and get out there, yank them up, make sure you get the whole root out. They got this really tough, long, deep root. You get that whole root out there or they will resprout from the root. And that is the best thing to do, and it's really good exercise, and it will teach you dexterity and agility because these things are really prickly. And that's why you need
like
the tough leather gloves.
And that's excellent advice. Usually, the you know, if you've got a whole field full of them, well, you're going to be there a long time.
You're going to be there a long time, and you know, they're our last resorts.
Stop out to the Austin community, the Third Unitarian Church in the Austin neighborhood next Saturday at 11 a.m., a special broadcast of the Mike Novak Show. I hope you can join us. Then we're going to have a lot of fun. Bring your friends. We'll see you next week.